And we appreciate all of you. Thank you so much for being here with us today. This past week, many of you started this Life of Paul reading plan. Thank you so much. And those of you who started the plan, you probably realize that you haven't even met Paul yet. And you won't for a little while. This is like the lead up to meeting Paul. And so here's what's going to happen over the course of this school year as you're reading this Life of Paul reading plan. You're going to be reading about some concepts. You're going to be going over some stuff that you've already heard, some stuff you already know. You're going to be learning some new things. And then you're going to show up here on Sunday mornings. And occasionally, in fact, more often than not, occasionally when you show up here on Sunday mornings, I'm going to talk to you about something that you have read. Not every Sunday. But a lot of Sundays, you're going to end up hearing about something that you read over the course of the week. And so just one more reason, if you're not doing it already, one more reason to engage in this Life of Paul reading plan. And so we're starting with Acts, and eventually as Paul begins to write his letters, we're going to read those letters. They're going to be interjected into that reading plan, and we'll go through his life in a mostly chronological order. And so again, at the risk of sounding like a broken record, at the risk of repeating myself, I would encourage you, join with us, participate in this Life of Paul reading plan. Before we go on any further today, I wanted to spend a moment and just thank those of you who volunteered at the Overdose Awareness Walk yesterday. In fact, could we give our volunteers a round of applause? Thank you so much for participating. It went very well. I was very encouraged to see so many people sign up, so many people show up. It's something that we're honored to do. It's heartbreaking that events like this have to happen, but it is an honor to be able to serve. And so we had a wonderful team of people show up. A lot of them showed up right at 8 o'clock to be part of the setup. They were there, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, whatever that means, caffeinated, ready to work, there at 8 o'clock. And those of us who are there on time, ready to work, you know exactly what happened. We got there at 8, we're ready to work, and the tables that we were there to move didn't show up yet. That's okay. That kind of thing happens. And so we had to wait. And then the tables got there, but the person who was supposed to tell us where to put the tables, well, we didn't know where he was. We couldn't find him. So guess what we had to do? We had to wait. Waiting is to be expected. Waiting is a part of life. And so those of you who were there yesterday, what did we do while we were waiting? Did we all grumble? Did we all complain? What are we doing? I'm here on Saturday morning. Goodness gracious, I can't even be here yet. Let me get out my phone. No, you know what? Nobody did that. I did not hear one word of complaint. And so if you were complaining, thank you for keeping your voice down because I didn't hear it. I didn't see anybody bust out their phone and waste time on social media or texting or whatever. I saw a group of people talking to one another. And so isn't that something? And so while we were waiting, we're having some chit-chat. This wasn't a formal meeting that anybody arranged in advance, but it turns out that by the power of the Holy Spirit, yes, I'm giving the Holy Spirit credit where credit is due, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we had this time orchestrated by God just to chat and get to know each other. I had an opportunity to talk to a few guys and get to know their story, get to hear about their life, get to hear about their plans. That's time I did not have on Mike's calendar, but God orchestrated that time. Waiting is inevitable. Waiting is a part of life. And there is a temptation inside of us to complain, and there is a temptation inside of us to try force things to move forward, but waiting is an inescapable part of life. What do we do with that time while we're waiting? And here's the real kicker, friends. Sometimes, maybe even most times, those seasons of waiting aren't random. Those times of waiting are actually orchestrated by God. In fact, sometimes those times of waiting are commanded by God. Wait. Wait before you act. Wait. And we see something like that in chapter 1 of the book of Acts. If you have your Bible with you, I'd encourage you to open up to Acts chapter 1. We're going to read through the passage that's there in your bulletin, but we're also going to continue on through most of that chapter. In fact, probably all of it. If you're not in the habit of bringing a Bible with you, I'd encourage you to do so. And so as we begin, we're going to see God gives a command. We're going to see there's a time that these followers of Jesus are supposed to wait. But let me give you a little bit of context before we get started here. And so the book of Acts is written by our friend Dr. Luke. And so Dr. Luke has already written another book. He's written the book that we just call Luke, right? It's the Gospel of Luke. It's a biography of Jesus Christ. And if you look to the gospel, Luke begins with this fact that he is addressing someone specifically. He says, to you, most excellent Theophilus. That's a fun name. Most excellent Theophilus. And so he's writing to a guy named Theophilus. We don't know much about this guy. He gives him the title most excellent. That probably maybe indicates that this was a Roman official of some type. But the name Theophilus means friend of God or loved by God. So it's quite possible Luke is playing a little game with us here. He's being creative and saying, hey, I'm writing this to you, all of you who are loved by God and friends of God. And so he's written the book of Luke, and now he's writing the sequel, the book of Acts. It's called the book of Acts because this records the acts or the actions of the apostles, the actions of the Holy Spirit as he forms the first church. And so let's take a look. Acts chapter 1, verse 1, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. Let's pause right there. There's a new term in the book of Acts, apostle. When we were reading the Gospels, we read about the disciples. What's the difference between a disciple and an apostle? Is it that big of a deal? Is there any difference at all? Well, there is a bit of a difference. You see, in the Gospels, Jesus functioned as a rabbi, a traveling Jewish teacher, and rabbis would have disciples, specific followers that they would choose and allow to follow them, okay? And so a disciple follows a rabbi. And according to the traditional model, a disciple would follow a rabbi up to a point, about 15 years they'd study under a rabbi, and then they would graduate and become a rabbi of their own. Not so with the 12 disciples of Jesus. They never graduate. They're disciples that remain disciples. And so a disciple follows a rabbi. What's an apostle? Apostle, quite literally, just means one who is sent by God. A sent one. You are an apostle. And so, to some degree, it would be fair to say that we are all apostles. All believers are sent by God to do something in this world, to reach a group of people. So sure, you can use that term in a general sense, but much more specifically, the apostles were a selected group, selected by Jesus to start this movement we call the church, all right? That's a lot of background for you, but it's relevant, and you're about to see why. All right. And so after his suffering, verse 3, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. This is important because sometimes we Christians kind of get this all confused in our minds. We think, okay, there's the resurrection Sunday. It's why we have Easter. We celebrate Easter. So there's a resurrection. He appears to his disciples, then poof, flies up into heaven. No, he was there for about 40 days. And as we continue reading, we learn that during that 40-day period, he appeared multiple times to his followers, not just the appointed 12, not just the apostles, but to a group of about 500 people. And so we spent a lot of time with them to really drive home the fact they weren't deluding themselves, right? I mean, if Jesus just appeared once to them, they might think, did we all really see Jesus yesterday? Was this some kind of shared delusion? Was he just a spirit or was he real? No, he was real. He spends time with them. They can reach out and touch him. He cooks for them on one occasion. He eats with them on a couple of occasions. He was there in a resurrected body, giving these many convincing proofs that he really was back from the dead. Verse 4, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem. Hold on a second. Wait a minute. I read the Gospels. I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I seem to recall that the Gospels end with Jesus saying to go out into the world, start where you are, and then spread out to the ends of the earth sharing the Gospel. What's going on here? Well, yes, Jesus does command his followers to go to the ends of the earth spreading the Gospel, but not yet. First, don't go anywhere. First, stay here. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait, there's your key word. Wait before you go. Wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. Now, in John's Gospel, when we get to the Last Supper, we see so much about the Holy Spirit. Jesus promises his followers he's not going to leave them as orphans, but send them the Holy Spirit. That's the God that dwells within us and among us. He's like, you've heard me speak about the Holy Spirit. Wait, because you're going to receive something special from the Holy Spirit. All right? For John, speaking of John the Baptist, John baptized with water, but in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And they all said, that sounds great. I have no idea what you're talking about, but that sounds great. I don't know how many days a few days is, but this sounds great. Let's let this happen. Then they gathered around him and asked, and I want you to notice what happens between verse 5 and verse 6. Then they gathered around him and asked, Lord, are you going at this time? At this time, are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? And I think this is one of the saddest moments in the New Testament. Because after all the disciples had experienced, after all the miracles they had seen, they still wanted to bring back the glory of the kingdom of Israel. Hey, is now the time? Wait. Is it now? Wait. But what about now? Are you going to do it now? No. See, Jesus did not come to be a political king and rescue one group of people from Roman oppression. No, he came to be the king of the entire world. And when he comes back, that's exactly what he will do. He will rule over us all. So is it now that you're coming to restore the kingdom? He said to them, no. He said, it is not for you to know. It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Yeah, that's all still valid, but first you have to wait for the Holy Spirit. And after he said this, he was taken up before their eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight, and they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going. Yeah, of course they were. What did we just see? I mean, of all the miracles they had seen, this is a flying Jesus. We say ascending because flying sounds weird, but he was flying up into the clouds. So they kept staring. Of course, so would you. I've never seen anything like this. Just kept staring up there. When suddenly two men dressed in white, almost certainly angels, stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you have seen him go into heaven. He is coming back. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mountain of Olives, a Sabbath day walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, also known as James the Less, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James, also known as Thaddeus. Okay, so this isn't Judas Iscariot. He's gone. They all joined together, constantly in prayer. So what are these guys doing while they're waiting? They joined together. They prayed a little bit here and there. No. Constantly in prayer during this time of waiting, which is exactly what they should have been doing. Waiting and praying. Praying while waiting. Joining together constantly in prayer. Along with them, so it wasn't just those 11 guys, along with them, were the women who had been followers of Jesus, and that included Mary, his own mother, and the brothers of Jesus. And so the biological children of Mary and Joseph, who had not believed that their big brother was the Messiah, after the resurrection, they become convinced. They're believers as well. Verse 15, in those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, brothers and sisters, the scriptures had to be fulfilled in which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through David concerning Judas. And so here's what we see happening. They're waiting and they're praying. They're praying while they're waiting. And it seems like maybe, just maybe, they're starting to get a little bit antsy. Okay, when do we get this gift from the Holy Spirit? Are we going to even know when we have this gift? Do we have it now? We got to get to work. We've just been waiting around here. Let's get this ball rolling, right? And who do they turn to for leadership in moments like this? Well, Peter had been a leader among the disciples. Peter was probably the oldest among the disciples, and there are many occasions that Peter is there with Jesus when the rest were not. And so Peter may be feeling like he had an obligation to take some action. Let's start leading here. Stands up and says, okay. We used to be 12 and we're down one, is basically what Peter says. He stood up among the believers. He said, brothers and sisters, the scriptures had to be fulfilled in which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through David concerning Judas, who served as a guide to those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in our ministry. With the payment he received for his wickedness, Judas bought a field, and there he fell headlong. His body burst open, and his intestines spilled out. I'm sorry the kids are in children's church today. I think they really would have enjoyed that part, right? And everyone in Jerusalem heard about this, so they called the field in their language Akeldama, that is, field of blood. Now, just for clarification's sake, Judas didn't actually buy this field himself, but Judas had received 30 pieces of silver to betray Jesus. When he realized he had done wrong, he was filled with regret, and he tried to give the money back to the Pharisees. You've paid me this money for Jesus. I did the wrong thing. I betrayed innocent blood. Take your money back. Well, they couldn't take the money back, and so they used it to buy this field. And Judas, again, being filled with regret and remorse, takes his own life in that very place. Verse 20, for, said Peter, it is written in the book of Psalms, may his place be deserted, let there be no one to dwell in it. And may another take his place of leadership. So Peter, yeah, once upon a time he was a fisherman, but he knew his stuff. He knew what we now call the Old Testament. He knew the law and the prophets, and he knew that David had written this prophecy, and now that these things had come to pass, now that Jesus was crucified and resurrection, now that they had seen Judas betray Jesus, now that they'd seen what had happened, Peter's making sense of these prophecies and said, yeah, David said there would be one who would betray Jesus, there would be one who would rebel against us, and David also said prophetically that someone else would have to come and take his place. So we got to figure out, who's going to take Judas's place? Therefore, verse 21, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus was living among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken from us. From one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. And so Peter says, we need to find somebody else. And Peter, in the moment, creates his own criteria. It's got to be somebody who's been with us the whole time, from the beginning to the end, to the resurrection. And so, this is what I think we should do. You guys all agree? Yeah, let's do this. It sounds good. I mean, we're looking to you, Peter. You seem to be in charge here. And so, they nominated. This is awesome. Let's have a group collection, talk about, well, who should be the apostle, who should be the sent one of Jesus. We're not going to let Jesus do that. We're going to figure it out for Jesus, right? And so let's nominate some people who could potentially serve as this apostle. And so they nominated two men that met Peter's criteria. They nominated Joseph, called Barsabbas, also known as Justice. Dude, pick a name. We'll call him Justice, all right? So they nominate Justice and Matthias, okay, two guys who met Peter's criteria. And then they prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two. Which of these two? Because we're only going to give you two options, God. We're going to put you in a box to answer this prayer. Which of these two? You can choose anybody, God, of these two options that we're presenting before you. Don't we do this sometimes in our prayers? Put God in a box. Here's what I'm asking you for, God, and you can answer me in any one of these two ways. So, Lord, which of these two have you chosen to take over this apostolic ministry which Judas left to go where he belongs? That's a fun phrase, to go where he belongs. Then they cast lots. Now, if you were reading this week and you thought, casting lots, is that something they did? Isn't that a little weird? Yeah, you're right, that is a little weird. And so they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias. So he was added to the 11 apostles. Isn't that great? And we never hear about Matthias ever again. The end, okay? This is a book of history, all right, the book of Acts, which means not everything recorded in it is the right thing. Luke's just writing down, here's what happened. And as we continue reading the book of Acts, we meet a man named Saul. Saul becomes Paul. Paul becomes that 12th appointed apostle who Jesus appoints personally and sends personally as his apostle. These guys did the right thing in waiting and praying, but then they got anxious and they tried to force God's hand. Let's get this going. Poor Matthias. That's the last we hear of this guy. Don't we do this sometimes? I mean, this very thing. We get tired of waiting. You know, especially those of us in a leadership position, people are looking to me, is it okay for me to say, well, I think we should just sit on this issue and pray over it for a while? Yeah, but we got to get moving. I mean, just like the people look to Peter, do people ever look at you that way? Yeah, we got to get moving. What's next for us? What are we doing next? Come on, I'm tired of sitting around. I don't know what this thing that Jesus promised is, this power from the Holy Spirit. Do we already have it? Let's get to work. Let's find another apostle and let's get out there. Yeah. A lot of times we believers, we make that mistake, but it is better to wait upon the Lord, to wait in those seasons that He has given us to wait. And here's what I have to share with you today. This is my belief, and maybe you've seen this in action in your own life. I believe that God has something for you while you are waiting. There is something God has for you during those seasons of waiting. What are you waiting for right now? An answer to a prayer? Are you waiting on a healing? Are you waiting on direction? Are you waiting on focus? What am I supposed to do? Are you waiting something with family, something with work? I feel like we're always in a state of waiting for something. What are you waiting for right now? Maybe God has something for you to learn, something for you to experience, a way for you to grow while you are waiting. God has something for you in your season of waiting. Maybe He needs to equip you and prepare you for what's next. I mean, take a look at the life of Moses. 40 years as a prince in Egypt. 40 years as a desert shepherd. 40 years out there taking care of sheep. And then at 80, he is called to do this tremendous thing for God. Go, be my messenger. Go, deliver the Israelites from slavery. Was that 40 years hanging out with the sheep? Was that wasted time? Or was God doing something for Moses, with Moses, during that season of waiting? Let God accomplish whatever it is He's trying to accomplish. Let Him have access to your waiting time. Spend that time fruitfully. Look around. You know, earlier, in fact, it was last month, early in August, we had an opportunity to hear from our missionaries who went to Kenya. And they told us about their flight being delayed. 4 hours, 8 hours, what was it, 6 hours, 8 hours? 7 hours, 7 hours. What do you do with those 7 hours? Would you be like me, looking at the board, looking at your clock, let's get going, we got some missionary work to do, what would you do? Or would you take that time to walk around the airport, you know, have some conversation, get to know your fellow missionaries? God has something for you while you are waiting. It's not wasted time, friends. It's time that God can use. And those of you who have been a part of Hope Community Church, or a member here, or you've been in our orbit and you've seen what's happening here, there have been long seasons of waiting for what's next. Long seasons of being at the theater, right? Barnstormers Theater, waiting for what's next. What does God have for us? The space is too small, waiting for what's next. But let's not waste that waiting time. Let's use those seasons of waiting to seek after God's will. Pay attention during those seasons, because I promise you, God is up to something. And so as one church, as one local body, as Hope Community Church, we're not going to waste those seasons of waiting. We're going to look to God for direction, and we're going to give Him full access to our lives, to our hearts, so that He can use those seasons of waiting to correct us, to rebuke us, to encourage us, and to prepare us for what's next. Amen? Amen. Let's join together in prayer. Father, we know, I mean, we've read it in Your Word, we've read it in Isaiah, that those who wait upon You will receive renewed strength. Now, we read in Isaiah chapter 40 that even young men grow weary and tired, but when we turn to You, when we wait upon the Lord, we receive that strength from You, and then we're able to soar up on wings just like eagles and accomplish great things for You. And so, Father God, as always, You have permission to enter into our hearts, change what needs to be changed, equip us and prepare us for what's next as You're revealing something to us in the present. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.